Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Holly Daniels Christensen, who's the founder and CEO of Dune Jewelry & Company. Holly, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, I love what you guys are doing. I love your approach to helping out people pick custom jewelry, but also serving and building your corporate social responsibility. So I want to learn all about that. But first, get us started with a little bit of your background and what your entrepreneurial journey has been like to this point in your career. Were you one of the second graders that for career days you said, yeah, that's fine to be doctor, lawyer, fireman, firefighter, but I want to be a CEO of a jewelry company?
No, I was one of those second graders that made my grandmother bring me to the job lot, which was where all the extra merchandise got dumped. And we got to purchase it for very, very cheap. And I would buy 20 packages of gum and go to school and sell it for 10 cents a
piece.
Nice. So that was, you know, and I know we've all heard that story, but that was always kind of ingrained in me.
Kind of wired in, yeah,
from the beginning. Yeah, it was there from the beginning. And then I started working when I was 11 years old. I had a summer job at a zoo on Cape Cod, hanging out with the animals and talking to customers and all of that. Worked there through when I was 18. I worked there every summer through the year of 18. And, or the age of 18. And then, I happened to leave home very young, dropped out of school, left home and kind of went out on my own and had multiple jobs. It was, I had an unconventional kind of bohemian upbringing that just wasn't conducive to formal education. So I left and I started working. And the cool thing about that was I learned a few things. I learned number one, you know, work was always going to be there for me, right? Like if I put my effort in, I was going to get a paycheck and it was very black and white. And, you know, I knew if I did a good job, it would provide for me, if you will. Number two, I got to work for so many managers and so many leaders that and some very, very good, some terribly awful. And I got to choose kind of the traits that I wanted to hold on to in my lifetime, in my career. So that I think that's kind of what made me the leader and manager I am today. But I landed in real estate for many years. And then I decided to take my kitchen table hobby to a full-time career when I had just turned 30. And now I'm 12 years in and I have 30 full-time employees. Wow. And we have a very beautiful, thriving, healthy business. And I'm very blessed.
So you say kitchen table hobby and then turn into a multimillion dollar business. I think that decades ago, people that thought, oh, I want to start my own business and be a CEO and an entrepreneur, you have to have this severing of a corporate relationship. I'm quitting. Here's my 2 weeks notice. Now I need to think about now I'm starting a business. And these days, no matter what industry you're in, it could be a side hustle. It can be consulting. It could be kitchen table making. Fill in the blank. It gives so much opportunity these days to start something on your own. And I would say, if you might have heard this saying before, what's easy to do is easy not to do. So it's almost like starting your own business is so easy these days that people just discount it. So what would you say to entrepreneurs that hear this and go, you know what? That thing that's been sticking in the back of your mind, you can do it, but take that first step.
Yeah. I mean, I think, well, let me put it this way too. I don't think everyone's born to be an entrepreneur. And I certainly don't think that small business ownership and business ownership is for everyone. I think it can be romanticized in this day and age. And you think it's this amazing kind of easy breezy, glamorous, career choice. And the simple fact is it's not. I just said to my team recently, I'm like, you know, I said, you would think after 12 years, we'd have a day or two of coasting. Like we're considering shutting down between Christmas and New Year's, which we've never done in 12 years. And I'm really excited at the opportunity, but then I'm like, you know what? It doesn't make sense for the business yet. So yeah. I think for me, it's important to be honest to aspiring entrepreneurs and let them know that it is 24/7. It is, it is not for the weak, the faint of heart. You have to be so committed and so passionate about it. And if you're not, at least if you have a significant work ethic or a good work ethic, then it can get you through, right? Like, I guess what I'm saying is if you're like, oh, I love Burger King, I want to open a Burger King franchise, and you've got a great work ethic, heck yeah, do it. You know, you don't want to work for anyone else, go and do it. But if you're starting from scratch and doing it on your own, you really have to have that passion.
And if you find yourself like looking around the garage or the house, like here's this unfinished project, you might need to recognize that, okay, if you want to be that entrepreneur, that might be a, you know, sticking point for you. So you might need to feel like, okay, I need some help my strength is starting things. I need someone that'll take my starting idea and finish it, and then I step in after that. So you might need to recognize things about yourself. And many times that might take bringing in a mentor from the outside to go, hey, guide me. Let me know what's that next step. What's that?
Absolutely.
What am I missing?
Yeah. Listen, I mean, as a high school dropout, the fact that I have done what I've done is in my mind pretty great, right? I'm very excited and happy and blessed to be where I am. But I certainly wouldn't be here without my mentor, who I met in 2000. I started my business in 2010, and we started working together in 2012. And you know, here I am, this super artistic kind of bohemian artist that loves nature and the beach and Mother Earth. And he's this much older gentleman who worked in, he made credit cards. Like literally, he had a credit card factory that was incredibly successful for many, many years. And luckily, as he realized how terrible plastic was, he decided to get out at just the perfect time and really made a name for himself. But you know, it was such an interesting moment for me when he's calling my beautiful jewelry creations, he's calling them widgets. How many widgets can you sell? And what do they cost, Holly? And how are you billing out your time, Holly? And how are you this? And how are you that? And I'm like, oh, widgets, like this is artwork, right?
Yeah, this is my masterpiece. Yeah. What do you mean widget?
But he meant it in good faith, because he knew that I wasn't there to push back. I wasn't there to dig my heels in. I was there to learn and grow and create a livelihood for myself and a business that I could be proud of. So now I know how to deal with my balance sheet and P&L statement. And I'm looking at the budget every single day, because we're a small bootstrap company. And I'm just so grateful for that.
That's awesome. So you went from the kitchen table to a multimillion dollar business, and it was nothing but one step forward, two steps forward, 20 steps forward, profit, 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 and no problems, right?
Yeah. How did you know?
Yeah, right. It's like I had an insight. No, but every entrepreneur has challenges, and you've probably seen those, you know, social media memes where it's like, this is what people think success is. And it's the point A to point B, perfect, you know, straight line target to success. But in reality, it's like all these squigglies in the middle, and it's like a mess. And then you do make a step forward, and then two steps back, and then three steps forward. But what are some of the challenges that you faced in growing? Because I think you have an initial burst, and then you kind of plateau, and then another burst. What are some of the challenges that you faced over the years?
Sure. I think in the beginning, and this of course is unique to me, but I'm sure there are other entrepreneurs out there like this, or men or women who and maybe not a high school dropout, but maybe they dropped out of college for certain reasons. I had a very hard time walking into a room and feeling, on the same level as everyone else in a business meeting, or when I was pitching to larger companies for like larger boutique chains and things like that, because I definitely had some insecurities about not having a formal education. And that's something that I want to shout from the rooftops, because while I have two young daughters and I definitely want them to have a formal education, it is not the end all be all. You can do anything you want to do with your life. Whether it is going back to school or starting a business without a formal education, there's so much you can learn from books, from Google, from the internet. You know, we have so many opportunities in front of us. And I would hate for anyone else that has a talent and a passion to go through what I went through for probably the first 4 or 5 years. It took me about 5 years to really find my stride, find my confidence, know I was doing a good job, know that I was evolving and learning as a professional. So I think that's important. I mean, challenges in general, valuing your time, valuing your product, valuing your work is so important. I do find that oftentimes it is, and not to break it down like this, but, and I think it's statistically, I'm not going on record, but oftentimes women don't value their products or services correctly. They yeah. undervalue themselves dramatic, not by a little, Mike, but like they've undervalued themselves significantly. So my mentor and I still to this day, yesterday we were on the phone and he's like, are you raising your prices in January? Are you raising your prices in January? And I'm just like, you know, we have this conversation yeah. every, I don't know, every 6 months.
That's huge. And you know what, you kind of, it's like the frog in the water that ultimately gets boiled because you don't notice it getting hotter and hotter. You're in the midst of it and you've got to take time to work on your business, not in your business, like Michael Gerber taught in eMyth. And maybe it is that mentor conversation. Maybe it is, you know, taking time to go to the beach, the Starbucks and go, what do I need to work on? What are some things? And what are those key things like, ooh, raising pricing or whatever the case is? Or, hey, what are my suppliers charging? Can I make sure I save this? All of those things, we get in the midst in the weeds of the business and it just really bogs you down and you don't notice. So I think that's a huge aha and a huge lesson. Talk a little bit about your company. I know you don't just quote unquote sell jewelry. So what kind of jewelry? And then talk about your giving focus that you guys focus on.
Yes. So we are the one and only experiential jewelry company in the world. And what that means is we capture experiences in every single piece that goes out our door. Every design is custom made, made to order, and handcrafted here in our Massachusetts studio. We use sand and earth elements from thousands of memorable and iconic locations around the world. So for example, if you wanted a little pinch of sand from the pyramids, in Egypt, we have that in our sand bank. It was provided to us from a world traveler who happens to be a customer who had a custom design and let us keep some of that in our sand bank. But you can do sand from a golf bunker, Pebble Beach, you know, Aruba, where you went on your honeymoon. It's the list is endless. Crushed granite from the Rocky Mountains, sand from the Hollywood Trail. If you're a movie buff, I mean, we have so many different sands and earth elements that, and you can also send in your own. And we always say we make tangible reminders of life's best moments. And it's really resonating with people. I think these days there's so much of our memory that's stuffed in a phone or on a cloud somewhere. Yeah. That when you can actually, like I can right now grab my necklace, you know, and hold on to it or rub it like a worry stone. And it's filled with sand from Positano, Italy, where I went on my honeymoon, which was one of just the most amazing trips I've ever taken.
You think about, well, hey, what's your competitive advantage? What sets you apart? You have competitors. Why should I pick you? That's unique.
Thank you. It is. It is. And I'm so blessed. I'm saying blessed a lot because I do. I feel lucky every day. Even when I'm complaining about, about everything that's going on, I always feel lucky. Yeah. And, we are a really exciting concept. And the cool thing is, you know, bangles can trend and rings can trend and beads can trend, but we can take our concept and apply it to any kind of jewelry, right? Like it's not like we're a product. We're actually more of a concept.
I love it. And I love experiential, that whole thing. Like, ooh, we're planning a trip to this. I'm going to make sure that I get sand from or rocks from, and I'm going to, and it gives you something to kind of, in it, like you said, it takes the pictures out of the phone and brings it to real life. You know, you need pictures and picture books and all that, but this is something that's very different. So, let's wrap up with how you guys then give back.
Oh my gosh. So actually we are in the midst of or just finishing up with our giving week, which we do twice a year. We give back 15% of profits to multiple charities that we believe in. We've donated over $200,000 over the past 5 years to multiple charities. A lot of the charities we give to are ocean-based, Ocean Conservancy, and that's so important to me. And but multiple charities, including opioid addiction research and treatment, Alzheimer's, ocean preservation, rainforest preservation. I mean, we're a little all over the place, but not in a bad way. You know,
but all related to your brand. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I love it.
So that's been exciting, and $200,000 is a drop in the bucket. But we are on a roll, and we're really hoping for close to 500,000 by 2025.
Perfect. I love it. This is just spectacular. Let's wrap up with, if someone is listening to this going, that is unique and cool and awesome, what's the best way they can learn more and reach out and connect with you?
We are everywhere as Dune Jewelry. So you can go to dunejewelry.com. You can also check out Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and even Twitter. We're everywhere. And it's D-U-N-E, like a sand dune, jewelry.
Excellent. Well, Holly, thank you so much for coming on today. It was a real pleasure talking with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.